Hey, Andrew.
Yes.
Do you want to do a question for this episode?
No.
Okay. We have dragged each other down to this point. Mm-hmm. By the time we get to episode 100, it's just going to be us, like, farting into the mic and, like, making funny noises. Welcome back to the Explosion of Happiness, episode number 35. It is June 3rd, 2016. I am your host, Ryan.
And I'm your other host, Andrew. And on this weekly podcast, we talk about video games, as well as Ryan's super shitty choice in MMORPGs. So Ryan, why don't we get right into it? I've noticed you've been playing a lot of Star Trek Online.
Yeah, it's not actually as shitty as I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Shocking and alarming.
Yeah,
are you feeling well?
Okay, I'll say that I've put more time into the game in the last week than I ever have total ever since the game has come out, including the week I got it on release. I'm halfway through the Federation campaign missions, and... Okay, let me say this. First and foremost, one thing that I was completely incorrect about, like, in our fifth episode when I was ranting about how terrible the game was, is how I kept declaring it, like, the most pay-to-win game ever. That was a bit of an overreaction on my part, because it turns out, like, yes, all the things I said, how you have to, you pay Zen coins, which is Perfect World's currency, cash shop currency. You had to pay Zen coins to change your name and get special textures for your ships and little things like that. But it's all very superficial and kind of out of the way. And the first time you notice it, it's annoying, but you can play through all the story missions without ever having to drop a cent.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly generous. Like, you also level up very fast, so there's no grinding. It's like I said, I'm like already halfway to max level after 1 week of playing. The core problem is still that the gameplay just isn't that good. It's very much just a bunch of button mashing, both in the space and ground combat, even though there's a lot of equipment and customization to your character and your ship and your crewmates. It usually always comes down to just button mashing, and it isn't until where I have gotten in the story where I'm now a tier 4 starship captain. I'm a captain in rank, and now I'm going up against capital ships that are like just challenging enough that I kind of have to have a little bit of a strategy, but it's always the same one every time, which is just fly behind them, shoot them, knock down their shields, tractor beam them, and fire torpedoes. On top of that, the game also has no fail state. Every time you die, at least in a story mission, you just wait 10 seconds to respawn, and that's it. There's only a couple missions where you have to like protect something from being destroyed, and it's never that difficult. So
like, you don't have to restart the mission over, you just go back to right where you were?
Yeah, you just keep going.
Stupid proof.
Yeah, it is. That's why I was going to say, the only people I could recommend a game to are people who are equally in my position, who have watched through every Star Trek series and film, even read some of the books. You pretty much know everything about the franchise, and you're just curious to see where the lore takes itself in the future after Star Trek Nemesis, and that's pretty much been my purpose of playing through it. Once I get to the end game and hit max level, I have no interest in doing anything beyond that, because apparently that's where the pay-to-win shit really starts to come in. I will say, like, even though the writing is very mediocre, sometimes fucking terrible, it's not the worst, and it's a lot of fun going to all the different locations in the Star Trek galaxy, going to all the different planets, seeing a whole bunch of characters and sights from the series. That, as well as just unlocking new starships and ranking up, is also pretty fun. I just wish the actual game itself was better. But for a 100% free game,
mm-hmm.
you know...
But how's the writing? I mean, that seems to be, like, the good redeeming part. Is it true to lore? Is it like not dated?
Well, they got a shit ton of references. It's a lot of fan service. That's kind of the best of the writing, is just the throwaway fan service. And but like anything that they've tried to write on their own in terms of like the universe and the current state it's in, has I just have not personally liked it. I don't like what they did with the Klingons, and I absolutely fucking hate what they did with the Romulans.
What they do with the Klingons? How can you make Klingons bad?
So what happened after Nemesis was this new chancellor took over the Klingon Empire and was like, the only way the Klingon Empire will ever thrive is if we're always in a constant state of war. So he started a war with the Federation. Yeah, this is something that like this.
Is there like two factions you can pick from and one of them is Klingon?
When the game came out, yes. Klingon used to only be a PvP faction, but they've added a campaign to it now. And I was going to say, what really sucks the most about how the Klingons are... they're basically just orcs in space in this game.
Yeah.
Your Federation character is like your main one, the one you're supposed to play first when you get the game and play through the story with. And the Klingons just come at you in fucking hordes. You just mow them down like they're nothing. They don't put up a fight or anything, both in space and on ground. And it's just ridiculous.
Like, that is so fucking disappointing.
Yeah, that's really the worst of it. And in fact, all the antagonists in the game are fucking like just black and white comic book.
Literally,
villains.
They just did that. They wrote that just to have PvP.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like I said, I feel like the lore that they developed post Nemesis is just what they had to do to make an appropriate MMO setting with different factions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, there's an episode of Deep Space Nine, the fourth season premiere. It's a fucking great episode. That's kind of about this thing with the Klingons and how they kind of have this hidden urge to always be in a fight. And when they don't get to fight for a long time, then they get really bottled up and then bad shit happens. It gets developed a lot better in Deep Space Nine and is very thought out and smart and how it like ties in with all the other events happening in that series. But in this game, it's like, hey, we just needed an antagonist for the Federation. There you go.
Let's see. But what about the Romulans? Did they give them similar treatment?
No, I think it's even dumber. I was most interested in what happened to the Romulans because the last thing you ever find out in like an official film was the reboot movie where you find out that, you know, the Romulan homeworld was destroyed in a supernova and that was it. You never found out like what the repercussions were after that. And what you find out in Star Trek Online is that they split up into two factions. There's the bad Romulans and the good Romulans. And I'm guessing when you play as the Romulan campaign, you're probably the good Romulans. The bad Romulans are basically the Tal Shiar. They tried to reconstruct the Romulan Star Empire. And then the Romulan Republic are like the good Romulans, like the peace-loving Romulans that wanted to work with the Federation. And so the Federation backs them, and then the Romulan Empire is all like, fuck you guys. And the first episode you play in their arc, it's actually the second expansion pack to the game, I think. There's been like fucking 8 expansion packs or something since the game came out. That's, you know, one of the things that kept wanting me to go back to it is because they just kept adding more and more story missions to it. You go to some starbase and there's like the Romulan Empire is like implying they want diplomacy or like something peace with the Federation. It's all a sham. You find out the Romulan Empire have a bunch of Borg technology that they're trying to infuse on their ships, and then they launch this huge invasion of Vulcan. And then you get this huge engagement, and it's completely fucking ridiculous because the thing that made the Romulans unique was they don't conquer their enemies through all that war. They do it through espionage and conspiracy. But in this game, they're like, nope, here's the bad Romulans. We're going to build a fleet and go fuck shit up. I hated it. And that's where I'm at. And currently, this is like the worst story arc so far in the game that I've been playing. There was also another moment that my favorite story moment in the game so far is also my least favorite story moment, which is where you find out you get to go visit the Guardian of Forever. I don't know if you're aware of what that is. It was basically this time portal gateway that Kirk and Spock found on a planet in the original series. It was built by some really old ancient civilization, and a lot of it is a mystery. But I was really excited to go down there because I love hearing the voice of the thing, and it's got like,
oh,
really,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, thing. It's got this like really godlike narration. I'm like, this is gonna be cool. And
it's like parodied a shit ton.
Yeah, but anyway, you go down there, and even though all of its dialogue was the same from the original series, they redubbed it with some guy who just did a terrible, terrible impersonation of it. It's so fucking bad. It was both funny, but also just like, I had a fucking erection for this moment in the game, but then they just totally fucked it up by redubbing it for absolutely no reason, just making it shitty, because all the voice work in the game is also fucking terrible. Except for Leonard Nimoy, who did narrations for the game. And I think Denise Crosby, actually, I think she did voice work for the Romulan character she played in the series. But it's like I said, her character is fucking written like a goddamn cartoon character, so it's kind of lame.
While looking up the Guardian of Forever, I found something that's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's an audio episode called Spock versus Q.
Yeah, I know.
Voiced by Leonard Nimoy and John Delancey.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Anyway, just some final points. I really like the Foundry in Star Trek Online. Since the game has really shit PvP, instead of just relying on the developer to constantly release new updates, they included this thing called the Foundry, which is like a level creator thing.
Like EverQuest Next was going to have.
Yeah, it's okay. If you want that extra content, there it is, and like the fans can probably do better writing than the actual writers. They cut the costs of everything in-game, like in the store, both with the game currency and the cash shop currency in half, because they probably knew that they were ripping people off and people were complaining about that. So like I said, where I got was the captain rank, which unlocks tier 4 level starships. And I used my free Starship token on a Defiant class. But one of the other ships you could also get is a Galaxy class. And I wanted it. So I started looking into like how much in-game grinding I'd have to do to get enough currency to just buy it on the side.
Mm-hmm. A tier and four... Galaxy Quest is the like the main ship that they use for like TNG and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Galaxy class is the Enterprise D, yeah. Okay. It's worth 40,000 dilithium, according to what Perfect World or whoever the fuck runs the game now was saying. 15 minutes of game time always amounts to about 480 dilithium, and you have a daily limit that you can earn, which is 7,000. So it would take about a week or two of grinding to get this one ship, and I didn't think it was really worth it because I'm just going to rank up, and then this ship is going to be irrelevant anyway after like a day or two of playing. So I was like, all right, I want to know how much actual real currency that's worth because I've gotten enough value out of the time I played with this game. I might be one to drop like $5 on it. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes of game time equals 480 dilithium. 370 dilithium equals one Zen coin. One Zen coin equals one U.S. cent. So you could either spend 2 weeks of grinding or you can pay $1 to get the ship.
Nice. That is...
That's where I began to realize, okay, this is where everyone's mad about the transactions. It's not that the things you can buy in the game are a ripoff. Well, where I'm at, it's not, but it's the fact that the time you'd have to spend to get them in-game is so ridiculous compared to the actual financial worth.
Right, because it's a fucking dollar.
Yes, what I learned from that is basically if you want to get to the end game and have the best ship, just go out, get a job, save a bunch of money, and blow it on the game. Don't actually play the game.
Get a second job.
Yeah, but at that point...
Get a job at a gas station.
But at that point, I don't know why you would do it because all the PvP is shitty and no one plays it, and then everything else is just... You can join a fleet, which is like a guild, and then do fleet actions, which are like raids. But if you're going to just buy all your equipment anyway, what's the point of doing that other than just getting like a little in-game achievement? The whole thing just seems futile and pointless to me, and I don't know why anyone does it. But it seems like that is like the ultimate flaw with this game. So my plan is to just keep trekking forward. Once I finish ranking all the way to the top, I might mess around in some of the side stuff and see what the endgame stuff is like. Other than that, I'll probably just start a Klingon and a Romulan character and just over time play through their story missions. But this Star Trek Online is going to probably just remain this game in the corner that I go back to just to progress the story missions every time they add a new expansion pack, because it seems like they do that every 6 months to a year. The only people I'd recommend this game to are people, like I said, who have seen every good piece of Star Trek out there from the series, and then you're just dying to have more or learn more about the universe. It's not so much the writing's good, it's just this is what officially happened according to canon. So you're just doing it to uncover the mystery. At least that's why I'm doing it. There's probably way worse MMOs out there, especially considering this one is free. But just because it's free, it's not necessarily worth the time. So
hey, it's still up, and that's something to say over a ton of MMOs. So
yeah.
If I remember right, that one, that other space MMO is going away.
Which one?
The one that I can't remember what it's called.
Okay, there's a lot of space MMOs, but I'm curious.
The 3D action one that was supposed to be really big and then everybody hated it.
Not Wildfire, or not, what was it called?
No, I think it's close to Wild something. Wildstar.
We both forgot the title. Yeah. Come on, this is our first podcast we talked about that game.
Yeah, if I remember right, that I heard like news like a long time ago that Wildstar might be going away forever or something because it's still not doing too well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true at all. So I'm just totally pulling that out of my ass.
I think I've done enough rambling about Star Trek Online, but I guess one more thing I'd say is it is an older game. It's from like 2010. It's 6 years old at this point. So that's something else I had to keep reminding myself. On top of that, it's also a very old engine from like early 2000s. It mm-hmm. was the same engine they used to make City of Heroes and City of Villains, which was a long fucking time ago.
Here it is. While they laid off half of their staff, that's why everybody thinks that it might be getting shut down. So, yeah. Anyway.
Well, it means they're probably done trying to fix bugs and stuff.
But, yep.
Yeah.
Probably making unique art assets and shit. So, yeah, you play anything else? I heard you downloaded a certain cell phone game.
Oh, God. Yeah, I did download Clash Royale. I barely played it, though. I'm pretty much just unlocking the free chests every day. I got it as it's just something to do when I have nothing else to do with my phone. So
that's pretty much exactly why I got it. And then I quickly realized this fun, like, don't get me wrong, like, there's fun to be had.
Yeah.
Pretty much all I did was to get the crown chest every day. That's all that I played.
It is fun. I guess I downloaded it and been playing it just to kind of just to find out, just to know. Mm-hmm. Just
when you get to about 700, what I think it's crowns or whatever that's used to determine your rank and who you match up against. I noticed you start running more and more into the people who like just pay to win. Right around 700 crowns.
Oh.
Like first, like I think I won like my first 10 matches in a row, and I just like skyrocketed up because people are really shitty at that game. Like, incredibly shitty bad. Like, dropping your archers right on top of the enemy, like, knight and melee range. Like, just dumb shit like that all the time.
This is probably the first time most of these people have ever played a game like this. I really don't have anything to say about it. It's just, it's there when I'm laying in bed and I don't know what to do. And, oh, here's my phone. I guess I'll mess around with this game.
Yep.
That's what all cell phone games are.
I'm sure you'll have a fun story and give up in a couple of weeks. So. Yeah.
I did also download Crossy Road, though.
Oh, God. I love that game. The gameplay is so compelling.
I got the, I didn't realize before when I tried to play it where I thought I lost everything. You actually can re-download all your unlocks and stuff like that. So I got that. However, when I lost the game, I had like 100,000 coins just hoarded. I lost all that, though. So I'm back to zero with that, but it's a shitty game anyway, so who cares? Well, actually, no. It's a thing.
It's a gift unwrapping simulator.
Yes.
Simulator.
Yeah, it's...
Because, like, the game... what's the point of playing the game?
It's Frogger, except every new character you unlock has a gimmick that makes you go, oh, ha, ha, ha!
Yeah. That's but, I mean, there's no point to actually play the game. Doesn't help you get the unlocks. It's...
Yeah.
It's, whatever. Whatever.
Still a lot better than most other mobile games. But God help us if that's the future of all gaming. I guess talking about the future of gaming, I could move into our first news story unless you have something you want to say about.
I play a little bit of Overwatch. I notice every day the community is slow. I'm slowly encountering more and more dumb people, to people like pretending to be mentally handicapped and talking like this just to get on people's nerves. People are screaming at each other.
It's
slowly becoming worse and worse by the day, it feels like, but I still have fun with it, so whatever.
You really should install OBS and start recording some of this shit.
Because I should.
Someday something so funny is going to happen, you're going to have wished you had recorded it. I came to this podcast all enthusiastic and fired up, and now I just feel tired for some reason.
Yeah, I feel tired too. Mostly because I was sitting around waiting for your ass.
Oh, well, it's not my fault. I got stuck. It was just this one little tiny road. I was trying to get to the freeway, and I got stuck on it for like 45 minutes because the semi-truck broke down in one of the lanes. Ooh. So, yeah, it was like every time the light in front of me would turn green, like two cars would move up, and then we'd be stopped again. I'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
I'd probably just kill myself.
I was listening to music and just trying not to think about the situation because, yeah, it was
not like done a U-turn or something?
No. I was completely surrounded. I mean, I guess I could have, but I was like so close to the freeway. I keep telling myself, like, no, don't do it. Just get to the freeway. And then, like, another 10 minutes went by, and, like, I'm still almost in the same spot I was at 10 minutes ago. But, yeah, it was shitty. But in the theme of shitty things, I got a lot of shitty news.
Yeah, I heard one relating to Overwatch, which I don't think is shitty. I think it's kind of funny. But
I guess we could just start with that one, yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
So, basically, Blizzard is filing DMCA claims against porn animations on Pornhub, I guess. That's all I know of. Do you know if they're doing it to, like, artwork?
I don't know.
I think I read that like hentaifoundry.com or something has porn work being pulled from it too. I was going to say like animations, if what we were kind of discussing about how maybe they pulled assets from the game to make them, they might have a case there, but anything that's just a person drawing by hand, that should be 100% fair use, either as parody or educational purposes.
Yeah, this is dumb. There's no way they'll be able to get rid of all of this stuff.
Yeah, that's a given.
Like, it's impossible. Like, this is nothing but lip service that they're even trying. And I think it's kind of stupid for their part for trying. Because it's giving, like, Overwatch a ton of free publicity.
I think maybe that's why they're doing it. At least, yeah. I've started to develop a theory. Maybe, like, all these games are getting censored when they get localized. Maybe they're doing it because it just means that much more publicity for the game. And they think that that'll get them enough new buyers than they would outweigh the ones they were losing. But I don't know. That's just a conspiracy theory that I'm starting to come up with.
It's not like there's this one group that's making something to monetize it. like there was with that server. Like, it's just, it's very easy to stop that. This is a ton of people independently doing it, either for money because they're getting, being commissioned, or doing it because they just fucking want to, of their own volition. You can't stop that. It's going to keep happening. It's going to continue to happen. There's porn of everything on the internet. My little toaster has porn. You can't stop it.
Yes.
Brave little toaster. Sorry, I got the name of a children's movie wrong.
Even if artists are profiting through Patreon donations to draw artwork of someone else's IP or whatever, that I really don't see who that's hurting. Like, even if they're making money off another IP, they're still giving attention to that IP, and Blizzard having them take it down isn't helping anyone on either side. It's not making anyone happy either. All you're doing is pissing off all the people that are just trying to get off. Chances are those same people are Overwatch fans, so my guess as to why they're doing this is because they want Overwatch to have a family-friendly appeal, and they think by doing this, it's going to get them brownie points, the really insecure people out there that would find this to be a good thing.
And that point brings me to something that really kind of annoys me about Overwatch. Overwatch has these shorts. Some of them are really good, like the short called Dragons, that's about Hanzo and Genji and their relationship as brothers. That one's really good. There's some that are just, okay, it's there, like Heroes, which is about Soldier 76. The problem that all of these videos have is they're like fucking rated G.
Yeah.
It's a video game based around shooting and killing people. But their fucking animations are like G rated, where they don't injure anybody. Like, if fucking Expendables 3 could be rated PG-13, they could make these goddamn videos rated PG-13. You don't have to show a ton of blood, but when you shoot somebody, at least imply they're dead. Don't have them get back up to make it look like fucking Soldier 76 is shooting them with goddamn rubber bullets. It's ridiculous, and it like makes these shorts seem really dumb, in my opinion. And that's just something I've been kind of holding on to for a while.
What's the name of the gorilla again?
Winston.
Have you seen the short with Winston and Tracer
and Reaper and Widowmaker and two kids?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, I just watched that one yesterday and I was cringing through the whole thing.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad.
I was like, just like, this is I joked about how this is like a DreamWorks cartoon, but that literally was like, did DreamWorks fucking make this? I didn't see their logo, but I could have sworn it looks exactly like something they would have made.
It was really cliche and just like, And it seriously feels like that part of the reason why they made this game was to sell toys and make movies and sell those.
Yeah.
And if they keep up with this fucking G rating bullshit, it's how could you make a game that's about shooting and killing people?
Well,
and
I mean,
make shorts about it that are G-rated.
Violent sci-fis get a pass just because they're sci-fi, but there's a lot of action adventures that are PG that have guns. And
in the short with Soldier 76, he shoots his Helix rockets at this enemy who has like a turret or something and blows it up. And like you see, like last minute, the bad guy makes an oh crap expression, and then you see an explosion. Like, it cuts away before it shows the explosion. It shows Soldier 76, and then, like, the explosion happens off-screen. So you don't even see the guy blow up. They could have easily not shown anything else, and everybody would be like, oh, yeah, he's dead. But then a couple seconds later, it shows, like, the dude, like, groggily getting up off the ground just to be like, don't worry, kids. Explosions are harmless.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, overall, these are, like, the animation quality is great. The story varies from it's there to it's actually pretty decent. But all of them have this fucking problem, and it's ridiculous, and it totally, I think, detracts from the more serious tone they're trying to go for with these shorts compared to, say, like, the shorts from Team Fortress 2, which are dumb and goofy for the sake of being dumb and goofy. Anyway, that's my rant.
Yeah, they're obviously marketing to a younger crowd because so many big shooters out there are M-rated and ultra-violent and stuff. And other than like Splatoon and Team Fortress 2, there aren't very many shooters that are just kid appropriate. So Overwatch seems like it's like that on crack.
That brings me to this news story. Following last month's news that EA Studios boss Patrick Sutherland initially rejected DICE's pitch for Battlefield 1, Blake Jorgensen said today that there were concerns that the company's younger audience didn't even know World War 1 happened.
I'm pretty sure they teach.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay, younger. Do they mean like fucking like elementary school?
That's kind of what I'm getting from this.
Okay.
Because these are M-rated games. If you're 17, hopefully that means you went to high school. If you went to high school, I remember spending 2 weeks on World War One and learning about Franz Ferdinand being killed by the Black Hand, and then how there was an entire series of like you know, treaties and shit that said, if you go to war, we'll go to war with you. That led to Austria, Hungary, and Turkey starting a war that eventually led to England and Germany fighting each other and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, everyone learns about this in high school.
Yeah, it's like a 2-week course.
So they phrase it as our younger audience?
Yeah, they phrase it as the company's younger audience didn't even know World War One happened. So like what? Is that like middle school kids then? It's an M-rated game and they're specifically saying it's pretty much like they're admitting that they target the shit.
Yeah, they probably mean like 13, 14 year olds.
Yeah.
I don't really see how that would be a bad thing marketably, because then those kids would just be like, what is this about? Oh, there was another war? Oh, yeah. Okay. Like,
but I'll be honest too, like how fucking retarded of a 13-year-old do you have to be like, World War One? I have no idea what that is, but I know all about World War Two.
Well, that too, yeah.
Like the names are kind of, you know, interconnected there.
Yeah, I would love to sit down on that little seminar they had and like explain why kids wouldn't know what World War One is. If kids today are actually that dumb, then we've got bigger problems on our hand than whether or not this game will sell.
There's like a legitimate problem with World War One setting, and that's more of the fact that World War One is where they kind of learned a lot of old war tactics weren't going to work with modern technologies.
Yeah.
So it was a really like nasty, disgusting war.
Yeah.
And then World War II kind of set the ground for modern warfare. And these are all basically like modern warfare shooters.
Yeah, I think it's such a cop-out that they're like the tagline of the new one was like the dawn of modern warfare or like the beginning of modern warfare or whatever.
And it kind of is, but it's mostly the realization that last generation's warfare doesn't hold up anymore.
Yeah, well, technologically it was, but then, yeah, like the actual gameplay itself is going to have to make World War One seem a lot more interesting than it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there has never been a World War One game. Maybe there'll be an alternate reality World War One where they did know how to use tactics.
They have Tesla coils and Albert Einstein is there. And
like I said, I feel like if they accurately depict World War One, no one will have a good time.
Yeah.
It'll have to take a lot of creative liberties with it in order to make World War One entertaining.
Well, I mean, there's more than the Western Front to World War One.
Yeah, I know.
Like there's engagements down in Africa and shit. Those were like such a minor point to the war. Actually, no, that's all I really have about World War One.
Oh, okay. Here's a great story. New Metal Gear Solid game got announced.
No. Next story.
Konami announces Metal Gear Solid 3 Pachinko Machine.
Oh, okay. Of course, that makes sense. I was playing like a game, and it you know, one of those free-to-play games on your cell phone thing, like Soda Dungeon, and it showed me like an ad for Konami games. And then it was like a bunch of slot games. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Does it have Quiet in it, in her boobs, just like the fucking Castlevania one?
It's based on Metal Gear Solid 3.
Okay.
So no, it'll probably have Eva.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Eva tits.
I did zero research beyond just reading the title because it's all I really cared to read. But it's like it's finally becoming a reality.
Well, it's been a reality for before.
The joke was Metal Gear Solid 6 would be a pachinko machine. So they're halfway there.
Yeah, but like Konami's already said that they're just going to fully invest in making basically gambling machines because it's way more profitable for them.
Yeah.
And they're just going to let all their really good IPs rot that they can continue to make pachinko machines out of instead of, you know, making fun video games like Castlevania. Fuck me.
No, it's all about daily bonuses now and unlocking crates. Anyway.
Oh, God. And invading other people's FOBs. When I first learned about FOBs before playing Metal Gear Solid 5, I thought they would be cool. I thought they'd be, like, set in, like, a river valley or a mountainside, and there'd be terrain there, and they'd all be unique, and there'd be advantages and disadvantages to the different FOBs, and that invading an enemy base would be cool and interesting, and that your base would basically be, like, from, you know, ground zero base.
Yeah.
And then I saw, like, the fucking oil rig, and I was like, ugh, this is so lame.
Yeah, that's actually why I never even tried it, because I just hated being on an oil rig so much.
Same. I hated that oil rig. And those oil rigs are, like, the opposite of fun to stealth around in.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, no place to fucking hide, really.
I think one guy invaded me once, and that was it. That was, like, the only time I ever got into any sort of PvP, and I was like, this is so fucking dumb. The Division may be getting a movie adaptation.
What?
This is according to a report by Variety.
Why?
Because everything's getting a movie now. Okay, come on, let's just talk about that.
Isn't The Division based off a book, though?
No.
Wait, how,
The Division has nothing to do with any Tom Clancy novel. It's
then
just,
how could it be Tom Clancy's The Division?
Because they own the Tom Clancy name. I know. It's fucked up.
What? No way. That is... What?
Yep. It's just... Hey, it kind of resembles something Tom Clancy would have done. So, yeah. That's it. That's really all it is. It's just a name. It sells. Okay, I mean, let me Google real quick. The Division novel. Oh! Wait. Hold on.
No, more like the book is based on the game. The man has been dead for almost 3 years, and it's likely he stopped writing books long before that. To be honest, The Division is not representative at all of what a Tom Clancy game should feel like.
Okay, wait, so Tom Clancy's The Division, New York Collapse. It says it has Tom Clancy's name on it, but he didn't even write the book or have anything to do with it.
Tom Clancy used a shit ton of ghostwriters.
Yeah.
So
it's still,
Tom Clancy's pretty much a brand at this point.
I can't think of any other has this ever happened to another writer before like this? Where they just keeps continuing to get printed on books after he's fucking dead.
I almost think that other than the game just being shitty and them like doing nothing to stop hacking in an online multiplayer game, the loot system being fucking god awful and boring, all the other things. I think this might be the most disgusting part of The Division, if this is true. They just totally used the name. Instead of just calling it The Division, they had to call it Tom Clancy's The Division.
There was rumors that they were going to drop the Tom Clancy name from Splinter Cell and Rainbow Six because, yeah, he's not around anymore, but they're still doing it. And on top of that, The Division was a new IP that they slapped his name onto. So cool. So is the movie going to have Tom Clancy's The Division, or is it just going to be The Division by Ubisoft?
Tom Clancy's The Division by Ubisoft, the movie, the game.
The movie, the game, the movie.
Based on a book never written by Tom Clancy. Fucked up, and that is dumb. And nobody likes The Division. Why are they wasting money on a fucking...
No one likes it. Yeah, but once they make a movie out of it, and the movie actually does...
Oh, that's right. The movie, the movie's going to make people play it.
That's what I guess I learned from Overwatch, is if you just fucking mass market the shit out of it in every fucking possible way you can, everyone will just jump on the game anyway.
At least the Overwatch is good. At least Overwatch is fun.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad game, but I'm saying most people got into Overwatch because of the marketing.
That's true. I think more than anything, that's a big reason why Gearbox's game Battleborn is doing super shitty.
Yeah,
is because they did all crap all to market it, and a lot of the marketing they would compare themselves to Overwatch instead of just mass marketing the game. Also, I hear the game's kind of bad.
I've had friends try to talk me to Destiny and The Division, and I always say no to that. And it's like, why do you want to play this game? And like, well, I think it looks cool. I'm like, why? And once you kind of break them down with questions, they don't really have a good answer. It's like, it's because you've seen this been advertised to you so many times, you just want it. That's not something I can fault a fellow human being for. That's just what fucking marketing does to your brain. In the case of Overwatch, I think it was a lot of marketing and then a lot of word of mouth, a lot of friends saying, hey, man, play this with us. Hey, get in the beta. Mm-hmm. That's why I did it. If I didn't know anyone playing Overwatch, I wouldn't have gotten into the beta. And that right there is why The Division's getting a movie, because, yeah.
Yay.
Of course, it's still rumored. It's not confirmed, but I assume if the Assassin's Creed movie does well, they're just going to keep pumping out probably Splinter Cell movies and stuff too.
That doesn't look good. But it has fucking Fassbender in it, and I really like Fassbender, so.
I mean, I guess I'll say it's nice that video game movies are starting to at least get more serious, at least the creation behind it. They're coming from publishers that care about their IP, so they're going to try to make them good. And I guess the Warcraft movie and the Assassin's Creed movie will sort of be the proving ground for that.
Both of those are going to be so crappy. I'm probably going to see the Warcraft one, though.
It's being made by a great director.
Is it?
Yeah, Duncan Jones. He made Moon, and then he made a couple other movies that are escaping my mind right now. But he's a good director. He was a really odd choice for this movie. But yeah, once I saw the trailer, I'm like, this doesn't look like any movie he would make. So I wonder how much input he had on the whole thing. Maybe the marketing around the movie is so shitty that the actual movie will turn out good. I don't know.
Early critic reviews are kind of iffy, but I never really liked critic reviews in the first place.
For Warcraft?
Yeah.
It's already out?
No. Critic, like an early release for critic reviews, is I think.
Okay.
But
it's going to be out soon. I thought it was coming out like way
later. Oh, wow. It's actually it's gone up since I last checked. It has an 8.0 rating now. When I last saw it, it was like 4.something.
When
is the it's really soon. June 10th.
I honestly expect it to amount to the same amount of quality as like a Marvel film.
Yeah.
It's like, as we're kind of gathering from Overwatch, it seems like that's the crowd Blizzard wants. They want everyone, but mostly they're really gunning for the kids because they want them for the long run.
Yeah, they do.
And that's why StarCraft will never be good again. Even though, even as a kid, StarCraft, as grim and fucked up as that universe was, is what made me interested in it. I didn't have more faith in kids. I think I ran out of things to say about that. Oh, anyway,
no, I agree with you. You know, because, like, as a kid, like, the StarCraft universe, it being what it was, I really got into that shit. Same with Diablo. Diablo 1 was creepy as fuck, and I love that game.
Say, didn't World of Warcraft movies start off as a Peter Jackson thing?
Maybe. It kind of looks like a Peter Jackson film, to be honest.
I'm pretty sure he was, like, behind it for a while, and Peter Jackson seems to just get everything. He was also behind a Halo movie in, like, the mid-2000s, and then that never came through, and then he just passes on it all.
So, you know, Good Old Games has their Steam, like...
Yeah, service. Galaxy, yeah.
Right. They are introducing a program called GOG Connect. If you link your Steam account to your GOG account, certain Steam games will then activate on your GOG account. Right now, that's limited to The Witness, Faster Than Light, The Incredible Adventures of Von Helsing, Galactic Civilizations 3, Trine, Saints Row 2, Shadowrun Returns, and The Witcher Enhanced Edition. They say GOG Connect will be permanent. The games that will be available will come and go as a way to kind of keep you logging back into, you know, Galaxy and stuff.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're afraid that you have all your shit on Steam, this is a way to get DRM-free versions.
This was made for me, so I'm going to jump on that. Holy shit, Good Old Games. This is like the coolest thing you've ever done. A lot of people are upset about Good Old Games Galaxy, but they're going forward with the stance that you don't actually need it if you don't want. It's just there to make things more convenient for you, but it's totally optional. So
right. You can, like, I still can still download all the games I have from them. Like Duke Nukem and Doom, I can still download those from the website.
It's kind of a win-win for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, it does ensure more people will be using Good Old Games.
I don't think Valve can do anything to stop this, because basically, by linking your Steam account to your GOG account, you're just showing them a receipt for a game that you already bought.
Well, price matching to the price of free is pretty bold.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense, because...
Well, GOG has everything to gain by doing this. It's just a way for them to get more customers. And by having it be like a rotating list, it just ensures you keep going back. If you keep going back, you see deals. Like, oh, I can get this for 85% off. I'll buy it. And they got a new sale through this system.
They've solved my biggest issue with them, which is that I just didn't want to rebuy all the games I already had in Steam.
Exactly.
And this is perfect for them, because it's almost like kind of putting a gun at Valve's head, like, if you ever fuck over your customers, we'll already have them, so they'll just come to us.
Mm-hmm.
At least some of them will. I would. Okay, well, I'm actually going to download that right after this podcast then, because I have a couple of those games you just mentioned.
Yeah, I know. I think it's really cool. Like you, I'm probably going to do it as well. Link up my accounts and just activate it, because it seems like it'd be something really simple to do.
All right. This is kind of a non-story. I just think it's indication of the fact that EA is absolutely scraping the bottom of the barrel. EA is removing gender barriers from The Sims 4.
What does that mean?
It means you don't make your characters male or female anymore. You just make them whatever you want.
What? I'm still confused.
Basically, you don't pick male or female. I think it just means you pick the body type and the clothing.
Oh, okay.
And I guess you still have to pick male or female somewhere in order to, like, make the game decide who can have a baby, unless... I think, actually, maybe they just remove the entire role of male and female and just everyone can have babies with everyone now. I don't know. The Sims 4 is a fucking catastrophe.
It is.
It's fucking everything that when it's released and all the shit that was missing from launch was just, like, a new low.
Plus, it was, like, super resource intensive. Like, it was impossible to run.
Yeah,
even you, like, had a tank for a computer.
Dude, even The Sims 3 runs like shit on my computer still. That was the last Sims I ever bought. I actually own the physical copy, and then recently they had it, like, on Humble Bundle, and I got it and a couple expansions for Origin, and I played it on that, and it still ran like ass on my desktop. It was...
This seems like they're desperate to have anyone look at their game now.
I mean, The Sims is already...
Sweet Flower DLC.
The Sims is already a fucking dollhouse simulator, and I'd say half, if not most, of the audience who plays The Sims are girls, and they probably figure a lot of those girls are probably feminists, and by doing this, it's the hip thing, and they're just gonna get more people encouraging each other to play The Sims, and fucking who cares? It's just, EA being as big of a publisher as they are, doing something like this, shooting for that audience is just like, okay, we've given up on pleasing smart people. Let's just go for the crazies.
Let's just get anybody we can.
Yeah.
Especially, like, my biggest problem with that Sims is, like, there's no reason to get Sims 4 or even Sims 3, because Sims 2 had so many fucking expansions and mods. You could pretty much do whatever the fuck you wanted to in Sims 2 anyway.
Yeah, it seems like most people still consider The Sims 2 to be the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even more so than The Sims 3.
The money-grubbing Sims 4 DLC is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you can get DLC packs of flowers. They're all the same flowers, just, like, colored differently. And just dumb shit like that.
I don't know how The Sims 4, how they make any profit off of that. I don't know why anyone would buy that if they were informed whatsoever. It's probably just all the casual fans who don't read about video games. Like, oh, there's a new Sims game. I'm going to go out and buy it. And hey, how come I can't use half the shit in the game? I don't know. And just the fact, like, there's no, like, swimming pools in the original release, and just stuff that was, like, basic shit in the original Sims was missing from The Sims 4,
mm-hmm.
that they were obviously going to just add in expansions and DLC and microtransactions. Like, The Sims is a fucking DLC simulator at this point.
Yeah, it's built to sell DLC. It's built to sell expansion packs, so.
Yeah, I remember in the original Sims, you could go online, you could, like, download items and stuff that you could easily mod in and, like, patch mm-hmm. into the game in addition to the expansion packs. I love doing that. I added, like, Pepsi vending machines and weird stuff like that into my games. Like, branded stuff that they wouldn't have been able to, like legally put in.
But companies realize that, you know, why let you do that when they could sell it to you?
Yeah, and why bother defending it when you got plenty of idiots willing to defend it for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Xbox One dropped in price right before E3.
Yeah. And to go along with the announcement that they're of upcoming different varieties of Xbox, I'm guessing.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I guess I thought it was already at $300, which is the new price it's at, because I got my Xbox One for that and I got like two free games with it. But I forgot that was actually just a special that I jumped on last year. So. Mm-hmm. $300 for a shitty PC that's going to be even shitty compared to the shitty PC that are about to release a year from now, or 2 years from now, or whenever the fuck it's going to be. If anyone is just down for Gears of War 4, that's like their game that they're doing this year, I guess.
True.
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe they'll totally knock it out of the park.
I don't even know.
Just kidding.
I don't even think Microsoft knows what they're doing anymore.
I don't think anyone knows what they're doing anymore. I think everyone is just...
Yeah, I'd be... Even with the price drop, I'd be super wary to buy a new console with all the rumors of, you know, the PlayStation Neo, what the fuck the NX is going to be, the fact that Microsoft wants the cell phone kind of model for their console where you just upgrade the console constantly.
I was going to say, it's less of a PC thing and more like a cell phone thing.
Yeah, it's very much like a cell phone at this point.
And, I mean, when you think about it, cell phones cost as much as consoles, but... So consoles aren't fucking cell phones, and people don't depend on consoles like they do their cell phones, so that makes zero sense to follow that model. I think Sony and Microsoft have completely forgotten what consoles are good for. It's stupid, and E3 will be interesting.
Yep. Speaking of E3, though, you remember how Nintendo said they were only going to show Zelda?
Yeah.
That's no longer true.
Oh, good.
Nintendo starts at 9 a.m., and they'll be showing Pokemon Sun and Moon, the first in-depth look to the new Legend of Zelda game. There will be a behind the scenes with your favorite Nintendo Treehouse.
Boo.
And the next day, they will have another Nintendo Treehouse Live.
Boo.
Where they will show how Monster Hunter Generations, Dragon Quest VII, Fragments of the Forgotten Past, which that's a re-release, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And then your favorite game with the dumbest name... Tokyo Mirage Sessions, hashtag Effie.
I can't wait for that to just come out so I can stop reading about it.
Yeah.
I thought that was already out. I figured Nintendo's E3, they're just going to show a bunch of games that have already been announced. There's not going to be a lot of announcements.
Right. I get the feeling, yeah. They're going to wait and do their own kind of press conference, because why put all this money into E3 when you can put your money into your own?
Why show Tokyo Mirage Sessions at that? Because it's already out in Japan. Like, they're just showing it to their American audience at this point.
Well, why even import Tokyo Mirage Sessions?
Well, that's
a terrible game.
Yes.
I don't get why they're not going to make their money back on this.
No.
Like, all the money they're dropping on it to have it translated, to censor the fuck out of it, there's no way they're going to make their money back on this game.
The more they put it in front of their fans, the angrier their fans get. So they should just get it out of the fucking way already. Mm-hmm. That's my stance on it. But, you know, on the subject of games for nobody,
it's time for the weekly censorship roundup.
Amusing censorship-related story that I came across, and this involves a game I've never heard about, and you, I will be fucking shocked if you've heard about it and be questioning where you go on the net. It's called Criminal Girls 2 Party Favors. It's a PlayStation Vita game.
Oh, I fucking love that game.
Oh shit, all right. Well, fuck yeah, you'll be really disappointed to hear what they're doing with it then, because it's some sort of fucking visual novel RPG sort of thing. It's one of those games, and then the first video I clicked on, like, what is this game? It showed some girl in her underwear being tied down and spanked with, like, the player tapping on the touchscreen, spanking her. And okay. Various scenes.
So you gotta find the criminal girls.
Yes.
What the fuck is this game?
The premise of the game is that you're working for a prison, and then you get tasked to take care of these seven girls who have to go through hell to redeem their souls. So, yeah, and one of the gameplay segments of the game is you punish them. You have punish segments, and you basically tie them down and slap them and spank them and stuff. This is an M-rated game, obviously for adults and extremely perverted people. It's just that kind of fucking game. And when I looked at...
It's super Japanese.
Yes. A lot of people are like, how the hell is this even getting imported at all? Who knows about this game? Like, why? Like, of all the games get imported, how is this one being imported? But on top of all that, on top of the fact that it's M-rated, obviously, they're still censoring it. And what they're doing is, in the punishment scenes, they're completely covering the screen in a pink mist so you can't even see the girl while you're spanking her. And they also cut out, like, all the moans and squeals and stuff she makes. So...
What the...
Yeah, no shit!
What the fuck?
What's the point? Like, what kind of game is this now? Just a shitty RPG? I looked at this, I'm like, if I want a fucking hentai game that's not actually a hentai game to play and be able to tell people, no, it's not a porn game, it's not, totally not, then this is the one I'd get. It's basically as close to being a hentai game without being one. But supposedly the reason they're censoring it is because they were afraid of getting the adult-only rating in Europe, which seems like a complete fucking cop-out excuse. To me, same thing as, like, Capcom and Street Fighter, because it's like, the same fucking people who are going to buy this game are adults. Mm-hmm. Or at least they should be, unless you're trying to market this to, like, horny teenagers or something. I don't know, maybe that. But it's just one of those things where, like, on top of that, it looked like some of the more minor censorship changes they're making, and it's like they're just changing costumes subtly. They're still sexy costumes, but I laughed when I saw one of them was, like, a chick being tied down by rope, and then in the censored side, they changed her costume and removed the rope. I guess they're marketing to a more feminist-liberated society where tying down girls is not okay, even though you're still fucking spanking them and punishing them and stuff. So, it's like, yeah. Just, you know, guys, there is this bondage fetish, and surprisingly, a lot of, like, pro-feminist people are actually very much into that stuff and are into, like, domination and stuff. So that's just, hey, don't fucking take my word for it. Look into it yourself. I know what I'm saying. Totally. But anyway, yeah, the whole thing is just funny because it's like, I didn't know what this game was. I wouldn't have ever heard of it if it wasn't for the censorship story. But then when I looked at it, like, okay, well, who's this for?
Maybe they'll do the smart thing and they'll say there was enough of an outcry that they decided to keep those scenes in.
Oh, yeah. And then they'll get even more. Be, yeah. Well, that would marketing. Yeah, that would tie back into my theory, my conspiracy theory, which is this is all just publicity. And if they're smart, then they'll just put the uncensored shit in. I think it's important to note, I think a PC port of this game is coming out and it's, you know, going to be moddable in theory. So people can just patch back into stuff like a lot of one other censorship related news, and honestly this is probably the biggest news story I have, even though it's not a big deal to either of us personally. It's another one of those funny censorship. The Witcher 3 is getting the living fuck censored out of it in the Japanese version.
Okay.
Like, tits and ass across the board all getting censored. And the game is fucking full of that shit. And it's a little funny that it's going to Japan, and this is another one of those things like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Like,
is
usually,
it like, is it just like we can import games across the Atlantic just fine, but as soon as they come across the Pacific, either way, they have to be censored to fuck.
We have all these localization teams. Maybe they just need work and they just desperately need to find something to change just so they can act like they have a purpose. Because I'm pretty sure Japan is okay with tits and ass, unless maybe it's just the fact that it's very lifelike tits and ass as opposed to the anime shit, which is, like, obviously very unrealistic. There's an artist in Witcher 3 who only paints naked women who pose for him. And in the fucking censored version of the game, you can still see the painting where the chick has tits, but the chick herself is wearing a fucking bra. So it's just shit like this. It's like, what are you doing? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, that's hilarious.
It is. It's yes. Oh, it's funny. God. It sucks, but it's like, at least it's fucking funny.
It's becoming a parody of itself.
Maybe that's it too. Maybe the fucking localizer's like, hey, let's make this a good one. Let's really see how pissed off we can make people with this, and just figure out something ridiculous. It's yeah. I will say the censorship is getting more ridiculous, but it's also just getting funnier as it gets more ridiculous.
There's a story about Hannibal, you know, based off Hannibal Lecter, but it's called Hannibal, the television show.
Yeah.
There's this scene where two people are killed and they're made to kneel by their bedside naked and their back skin is flayed off to look like angel wings and they're forced to pose like they're praying.
Okay.
The censorships had a problem with it because you could see their butt cracks. The solution to the problem was to put more blood on them to cover up the butt crack so you couldn't see it as easily.
Oh my fuck.
America, where it's legal to have sex, but illegal to... It's legal for me to show my butt crack in public by accident. Like, it's legal for me to sport plumber crack. It's illegal for me to kill a person.
This is what happens when, like, this is just like... Every shitty management workplace gone amok. It's like the people whose job it is to actually censor shit don't even know what they're doing anymore. They're just doing it to get their fucking paycheck and go home.
Yeah.
God damn it. You gotta leave this shit in. Like, I swear to God, even like the cartoons I watched, I'll admit, when I was a little kid, I was kind of afraid of like gorier, more sexual things. I was like shy from it. But if I was forced to be exposed to that, I probably would have had my balls drop a little sooner and had a little more of a spine as a kid. Mm-hmm. It would have taken me till I was fucking 18 and discovered 4chan to finally deal with shit. If I have a son, I'm sitting him down at the age of 5 being like, this is B. Take your time. I want you on here an hour every day. Don't you come crying to me. We all have to start somewhere with reality. Well, I guess that's all the shitty stories I had to shit out. I feel like it's just been a very fatigued podcast because honestly, I'm a little stressed out because E3 is right around the corner. Isn't that like a week from now?
I do believe so, yes.
It's usually like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, isn't it? It's like midweek.
June 14th. So,
That's the first day. So yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
What are your crazy and bold predictions at this E3?
Everyone's going to disappoint me. Even though I didn't know I could still be disappointed. They'll find a way.
I said crazy and bold, not.
Okay. How about this? Nintendo is going to blow everyone away, make a total comeback, and they're going to shit on Microsoft and Sony.
And then Sony and Microsoft realize that the only way they can defeat Nintendo is by pairing up and making the X Station. The Playbox.
And it sounds like a fucking porn machine, so a bunch of porn developers are offering to put shit on it. And then they're like, you know what? Why not? And then...
It suddenly becomes way better than the NX, because the NX is the puritanical, like everything censored to shit console that nobody wants.
And then Nintendo outsources The Legend of Zelda to CD Projekt Red, and they make
The Legend of Zelda. That would be fucking amazing.
Which are like,
stop.
Yes. But,
just stop. No, that's too good. That's too good. Completely trading cards.
M-rated Nintendo win. Nintendo just needs to start a whole sub-series of games called, like, Nintendo After Dark, where it's, like, the same franchises. They just got to very carefully label it on a box so that parents know, not for your kids. This is for our adult fans.
Like, we realize that you were kids back in the 80s when we came out with this shit.
Yeah.
And you're adults now.
Yep.
And hopefully that means Zelda will actually be challenging for once.
Yeah. That would be nice. That would be great. Yeah, you know what? I would actually prefer that as much as just fucking sex and violence and all that shit in a Nintendo game. I would very much like it if they just made the games challenging again.
Yeah. That's one of my biggest disappointments with just all the recent Zelda games. Since I think Twilight Princess was the first one where I really noticed it, every Zelda game is super fucking easy now. Like, really easy.
Yeah. And A Link to the Past was super fucking challenging. Even Ocarina of Time, though, I always suspected Ocarina of Time was probably the first really easy Zelda, but I went back and played it. Like, it has some challenging segments that if you're...
Dark Link is super hard.
Yeah. Like, that was a game where, yeah, it actually benefited to get all the fairy upgrades and all the heart pieces and stuff like that. And there's always the option to just play through the game on, like, a 3-heart run if you really want to make it hard, but that's sort of artificial difficulty.
Yeah, I'd like just from, like, from the beginning, a straight-up hard mode, maybe even with different puzzles. Just saying.
Instead of even calling it a hard mode, just call it, like...
adult mode.
Yeah, old school mode. Actually likes video games mode. I don't know. I need to stop saying I don't know. I say that so much.
I don't know.
And yeah, I used to say, it's kind of a lot. I stopped doing that so much. I still use sort of too much. But it's mostly
very deep and introspective.
Yeah. I also noticed you like to go mm-hmm a lot. Well, not every episode, but there was like one episode I was re-listening to today where you were like, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, the last episode I actually cut out you saying mm-hmm like 20 times because it was driving me fucking insane.
It happens.
Yeah.
We all have our quirks.
Yeah. I always wonder what this podcast would be like if we had a third person, if it would be a lot less dead silence. And there would always be like another person interjecting because it seems like a lot of podcasts I listen to have like four people and there's always someone talking, but when it's you and I back and forth, there's just like all these moments where like neither of us know what to say. You got that, listener? Making a podcast with only two people is hard and you should respect our efforts. We work hard to make this shit entertaining because, well, it's hard.
Tell your friends about us.
Please.
Or don't, because probably shameful.
Yeah. I mean, Originally, I titled the podcast Explosion of Happiness, thinking it'll get more attention. It'll really stand out. People will be like, what the fuck is this? But it's probably more like people are like, what the fuck is that? Get that fucking shit off my screen. Explosion of Happiness? What is that? Some fucking like My Little Pony podcast? Fuck that.
I'm still telling you the proper name should have been the... what was it again? The Never-Ending Implosion of Infinite Sadness and Misery.
We could turn it into an acronym. And I figured if we ever really have to, we could just change the title of the podcast moving forward, but I would feel sad if we had to do that. I already fucking registered the domain explosionofhappiness.com. I don't want to have to fucking, like, retitle this flagship podcast.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Yeah, it's definitely all I got, too. I'm just totally scraping the bottom of the barrel with this episode.
Whatever. We'll have plenty to talk about eventually.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just so... If you like this episode, we're sorry. Hey, Ryan, where can they find our stuff?
Why would you want to? Just fucking turn this shit off. You can find it on iTunes, YouTube, and explosionofhappiness.com for an archive of all of our episodes, including the shitty ones that I tried to bury. But I can't do it on principle. I can't hide the mistakes of the past. I have to leave them out there. You can go back and listen to episode 5 where I ramble incoherently about Star Trek Online and realize how much of a fucking raging spurglord I sound compared to the beginning of this episode. Let's say one of the reasons why I wanted to go back and play Star Trek Online is I'm like, I really didn't give the game enough justice. I just kind of shat all over it like incoherently before. I need to at least kind of see it through. So yeah, looking forward to getting to the end game and finding out where the game really suffers. If I can... Oh, did I even... No, I never even said the best thing that happened. When I played that game,
best thing that happened.
Well, it's not the best thing. I say it out of irony. It's the reason I'm not going to play that game for the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, I'd be playing it after this podcast throughout the weekend. But so it's like I said, the Galaxy class was worth $1. And I was like, okay, I've got enough value from my time with this game to pay $1. So I went to their cash shop. I dropped $5, which was the minimum payment to get 500 Zen. Then I opened up the Dilithium Exchange. And then I got a big fat message that said, your account has been locked from making in-game transactions for the time being. Because I was like, okay, what? I just gave you fucking assholes money and you're going to stop me from actually buying shit in the game with it now? And I did some reading. Apparently, if you buy through Steam, which is what I did, then they lock your account for like 2 weeks to like prevent scammers and stuff.
Wow, that is...
There was no in-game warning of this, because otherwise I would have just downloaded their client and bought through them, but Now I get to wait until I can buy this fucking ship. Or I can keep playing through the game and level up past the point where the ship would be useful. So it's like, thanks!
The dumbest shit ever.
It is! Yeah! And like, up to that point, I was like, yeah, this game's still not great, but not so bad. It's okay. And then this happened, like, okay, you guys are fucking assholes. Alright. I guess I should just stop it. I don't know why I'm dragging this out for so long. I feel bad. No,
goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, that was a shit show at the end.
Yeah. Okay. So that dog's panting is so loud, but it's fine. I'll just go with it. It's been panting for like the last fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, Ryan.
Andrew. Hey, you want to see something hot?
Sure.
Here, check out this link.
It says DMC. It's been taken down.
God damn it, Blizzard!